You're listening to the Journey Church podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you'll be blessed by the following presentation.
Well, I'll tell you what, we are in the last message here today inside of our series called Stronger. And as you know, the purpose of this series is just to give you the biblical tools and truths and principles to help strengthen your life, to make 2019 stronger in your life than it ever has been before, to make your marriage stronger than it ever has been, your finances stronger than they've ever been, the impact at your workplace stronger than it's ever been. Come on, how many know the best days aren't behind you? The best days are in front of you with God. Amen. And so we believe that. So dig into, re-dig into, if you've missed messages in this series. That's why I'm so thankful for our podcasts and our live streams that are even archived. And so be part of just listening to those again. Take those truths, apply them to your life, and watch the strength of God increase in your life to make your 2019 a year to never be forgotten, I'm telling you. And if I were to just wrap up this series here, which I am doing, I want to put a title to it here today that I'm going to call A Stronger Future. Come on, let's be Presbyterian and read this together. Ready? One, two, three. A stronger future. I believe not just here in 2019, but I'm telling you, I believe the strength of God needs to grow and grow and grow throughout our future, even a future that goes beyond us. So when I say stronger future, I'm not necessarily talking about tomorrow, but I'm talking about even the future after we have finished our race here in this life. I mean this title here in a spiritual context, in the context of the spiritual future of your family, in the spiritual future of this place you call home and those people inside of it. There's a future there. Come on, that goes beyond just you. Your family lineage, your bloodline. I believe that God, generation to generation, wants to make the following generation stronger and more spiritual, and I'm telling you, of greater impact than they ever were in the generations before. You know, how many know that's a parent's dream, that our kids go beyond what it is that we ever did? And I mean that here in a spiritual context more than anything else. I believe that this is the heart of God for your home. I say this right here in the context of your home because the stronger the spiritual future of your home, the stronger the spiritual future of this church, which essentially the church, how many know, is just homes that have come together. So when your family makes it and your bloodline goes on and Jesus continues down the lineage of your family home, that's going to cause the church to get stronger and survive. And how many know, the hope of the church is the family. The hope of a community is the church. The hope of the country is the communities. The hope of the world are the countries that live inside of it. And so it all starts down to the home. And we believe in the spiritual future of our homes, and God wants to make them stronger and stronger and stronger. And I said all that to say this. The baton of the gospel needs to be handed over to the next generation to run with. The baton of the gospel needs to be handed over to the next generation to run with. That's why I love what we do here at this church and what opportunities we've created here as a part of this church community. Even this community of churches that we see as last Sunday, we had our Hope Lincoln County event where other churches got to come in here and we prayed here today or last week for just the hope and revival in this county. And we kind of thought about it and we said, you know, you can't really pray for the future of Lincoln County without praying for the ones who are going to be living in the future of Lincoln County, this next generation. And so we started praying for our students and our young people. It was a fantastic time. We had youth pastors and students and leaders all together praying, and the church at the end just got to pray for this next generation. It was a powerful, powerful time. You know, it made me think about it, and I even mentioned this at the Hope prayer event, but man, it really is all about the future. It really is all about this next generation. I remember an ancient proverb that once said, you know, we've not inherited this world from our forefathers so much as we have borrowed it from our children. And I love that proverb. That's a wisdom nugget right there that just impacted me. We should never forget, obviously, what's behind us, but we got to remember what's in front of us. This future really belongs to them. We're just borrowing it from them for the time being until we hand it to them for them to own. Let me say it again. It's so important that the baton of the gospel is handed over to the next generation to run with. And I want you to take that in your home context, in a parenting context. Think about this. How many know we should be praying for our parents? Come on, even if we're not parents, we should be praying for parenting because we believe that God uses the mechanism of parenting to really equip the future that God has for our lives and for our homes. And so I don't want you to disqualify yourself from this message if you're like, oh, I'm not a parent, this doesn't apply to me. I'm telling you, the future of the world depends on how we take the truths that are going to be handed out here today, and this applies to all of us. Matter of fact, one of the most sobering scriptures, I believe, in the scriptures is found in Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2 is a really astounding, sobering scripture. Let me set the stage for you before we dig into it. You see, Joshua, post-Moses, has now led his people, the people of Israel, into the promised land. They've gotten there. It's been a long journey from slavery in Egypt to the promised land that they were set free to go into, and it took them all that time in the desert going there. Moses has died, Joshua took over, and he's finally gotten the Israelites into their promised land, and that sets the stage for what we see in Judges chapter 2, starting at verse 6. It says this, that after they got there, Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, basically going, guys, we're here. I mean, everybody's high-fiving. This is incredible. We've gotten there, the milk, the honey. It's incredible. I mean, this is awesome. It says that after he dismissed them, it says they all went and took possession of the land, each to their own inheritance. People, I mean, everybody had a little section. People had acreage. I'm going to go to get my place. And they built their places and their homes and their futures. It was a great time. And verse 7 says that the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. And the elders who outlived him, who had seen all of the great things the Lord had done for Israel, all that they had done, all that they had been through, man, they were serving the Lord as a result of it. And it says this, at the end of that time, there was a point in time, it here says, where Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And it says, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance, in other words, his portion of the promised land that he took possession of. It says, at Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. And it says this, after he dies, it says, after the whole generation who had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation, in other words, the one that came after that, grew up, who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. This right here is a scripture that blows me away. That the generation that comes after Joshua, it says, grows up neither knowing the Lord nor the works that he had done for Israel. That there's this entire generation who grows up essentially disconnected from any opportunity to have a relationship with God or know the Lord, what he's all about, not even know what he had brought them through or why they're even there. It really astounds me. It almost seems in the contextual interpretation of what it is that we're looking at here is that Joshua's generation seemed to be so concerned with the promises and the purposes for their own life that they forgot to even invest those same promises and purposes in the lives of those coming after them. To a point where these guys grow up not even knowing God, not even having a relationship with God, not even knowing really anything about God. That blows me away. And the results of that are really hard to read. If you look at verse 11, it says, then the Israelites that are now in the hands of the next generation, says, did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals, which are these false gods that they found being worshipped from surrounding countries and communities. It says that they forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed instead and worshipped various gods of the people around them. Come on, how many know if we don't reach them, the people around them will reach them? Right? That's what it says. You see, Joshua's generation didn't reach them, but the people around them reached them, and they started connecting their faith to the various gods of the cultures and communities around them. And it says here that all of this aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal instead and the Ashtoreths instead, which again, just false gods, communities, religions that had nothing to do with the Lord. And it says this in verse 14. This is a hard verse to read. It says, in his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them, the Israelites, into the hands of the raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to rest. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord, instead of being for them, the Bible says the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress. What a turn of events after they get into the promised land. Journey Church, I hope we're seeing what I'm saying, how important it is to invest into the next generation the same faith, the same grace, and the same love that God gave us. Because look at the consequences of an entire generation who decides to live their life without that, who doesn't even have the opportunity to have that. Look at the consequences that follow. You see, we often don't like to talk about the consequences that follow these types of things, but look at this. And it says in response, the Lord raised up judges. Anybody ever wants to know why there is even a book called Judges, why God raised up judges, these people that helped establish and champion moral character and the moral code again into the fabric of the people? That's the purpose of the judges. The Lord raised them up to save them out of the hands of these raiders that the Lord essentially had a part in showing them what it is that they're doing. You want to live life without me? Here's what it looks like. Friends, we can't have this next generation live life without the Lord. We've got to invest into this right here. I believe that God wants the future of the church, the future of the home, which will in turn allow the future of our communities and our country and our world to be stronger than it ever has been in the faith. Come on, let's be real. This is some hard stuff to read. You know, in reading this portion of Scripture in Judges, we see pretty vividly that the faith of our children is a priority. Even if it's not a priority to us as parents, it's still a priority. Because according to this, and what we just read, how many know the enemy wants the faith of our children? The enemy wants the faith of our kids. I mean, look at what happened to the faith of this younger generation of Israel. Satan strategized and succeeded in connecting their faith to that of false gods through the influences of their culture. Come on, how many are starting to see that today? How many know the influences of the culture today are working feverishly to try and connect your child's faith to them instead of to the Lord? And that happened in this scripture. It happened because of a bloodthirsty enemy, but it also happened because of the absence of the spiritual investment of the previous generation that was supposed to be pouring that stuff into them. Journey Church, you and I must today see the importance of investing the gospel into this next generation. We must see the importance of that. We must see the importance of investing the baton of the gospel. Come on, we got to stop viewing this as a book, right? And we got to start viewing it more like this. Because I'm sick and tired of people telling me that Christianity is a marathon. And a marathon just signifies one runner and he's done. Christianity isn't a marathon, it's a relay. You see, in other words, when I'm done with my leg of the race, I've got to take this and give it on to somebody else so they can continue the race. And how many know this is what this is right here? This just isn't something for me. This is something for my children to hand to so that they can run with it. And when they're done, they hand it to their kids and their kids and their kids. Come on, somebody say a good amen to the baton of the gospel that we've got to hand off. Literally, there you go, son. Thank you. Amen. You know, but it's one of those things we must see the importance of investing the gospel into this next generation. And that really requires two things. In other words, there are two mechanisms that God uses to keep Satan's hands off of our kids, to keep Satan's hands off of this next generation. Two mechanisms. This right here. The home and the church. The home and the church. The home and the church. God uses those two things. Those are the two primary mechanisms that God uses to equip a stronger future and to establish an environment where the enemy's hands can't touch our kids. The home and the church. This is why we do what we do here in the church. Everything we do. This is why we do baby dedication. Right? I love baby dedication to what we got to do. I mean, we've had the opportunity to dedicate a lot of babies. Right? When you see baby dedications, people think Lion King, like, yes, Amanda! It's not that. It's just creating a kind of a moment on the stage for parents just to come and commit before their church family in making their home a place where their child can grow into a relationship with God. Let me say it again. Where parents come and commit to make their home a place where their child can grow into a relationship with God. And once they do that, what I love about this moment is the first people to meet the parents when they walk off the steps is our children's ministry. I love our children's ministry. Pastor Danny, I'm telling you, we've got a great man of God with his hands on the steering wheel of our children's ministry. I'm thankful for that brother and all that he is. And he meets them out there, lets them know, hey, we don't want you to parent alone. We want to walk right alongside you, help you in any way that we can. He even gives them like a little box now. We started doing this because y'all are having so many babies. It's crazy. Anyway, how many of that's the one command of Scripture we follow really well? Multiply in the earth. Amen. We do that. All right, Lord. Yes, sir. Amen. And we do that. We had 19 babies being born in a six-month period of time here by the time we hit June, about 19 babies. It's just incredible. So we decided, man, what can we do just to let these, and I apologize if you've had a baby and we've not been able to do this before, but we just thought of this since we've had so many babies. But it's just one of those things, like, how can we stand with these families? And so they've created like this welcome to the world kit, you know? And inside of it's got some great literature and just some little gifts and trinkets and stuff like that. But even inside of it is a little onesie that says, my church loves me and is praying for me. Come on, somebody. That is cute as ever right there. And I love what's written on the front of this. My church loves me and is praying for me. We always want to be a place. We always want to be a people that believes in being a stronger future and being a resource for the home. Come on, how many know we need to be doing our part to be able to see the future be as big and as bright as it is? We do this because we're passionate to see the gospel grow and go to this next generation, because I don't want to live, and I know you don't want to relive Judges chapter 2 again. I don't want Judges chapter 2 to be alive in our world today. The church must do its part and the home must do its part. I said the church must do its part and the home must do its part. I want to talk about that for a second. First off, how many know the home must do its part? We cannot underestimate. If we want a stronger future, if you want your lineage to continue on spiritually, look, and I know great things are important. It's important, their education choices and their job choices and their economic status. But I'm here to tell you the most important thing we could ever hand to our kids are the principles of the Word of God, saying don't ever live your life one step without Him. He's the one that created you. Live in His purpose and in His likeness, and you'll experience far bigger beyond anything you could ever imagine. We've got to invest. We got to do our part. Hear me. We cannot underestimate the fact that there is inexplicable power found in a parent demonstrating what a relationship with God looks like in their life to their child. You see, I believe with all my heart that parents are the route that God established for the discipleship of our children. Parents. that God never intended for us as parents to outsource the disciple of our children to church leaders. You see, when Solomon put his pen to the scroll and in Proverbs 22:6 wrote, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, train up a child in the way they should go. I don't believe that he was writing to youth pastors and children's pastors. I believe he was writing that to parents. I believe he was writing that to the spiritual guardians of the home. Train up a child was for parents, and that happens when parents make the Christian lifestyle a priority. And when parents make the Christian lifestyle a priority, the influence then for our kids to then make it a priority in their life becomes nearly irresistible. Why? Because for many of us, we mimic what we see from those who lead our lives. Train up a child means show them what to do. Don't just tell them what to do. Show them what to do. Come on, we got a lot of people telling us to do stuff that they don't live out themselves at all. I've heard great quotes. I can't hear what you're saying because your life screams a completely different message. Show them what it means. Be their example. Be their pastor. Somebody like, hold on, stop there, boy. Aren't you their pastor? No. I'm your pastor. Now hear me, I'm the pastor of this church, but you are their pastor. You are their pastor. You see, I've been preaching this for a long time, even when I was a youth pastor. I was a youth pastor for 10 years. I was saying this even while I was a youth pastor. I had parents come to me and challenge me on those points. You're their youth pastor. I'm just the parent. He said, isn't that why you get paid? That's what a parent told me one time. Isn't that why you get paid? You get paid to teach my kids God's word. I'm like, I do. But that doesn't mean that that's my role to be the disciple. How do I want to say this? A matter of fact, stats will show you this. The average time a church gets with a child, this is zero to when they're out of high school or just getting out of high school, on average is 40 hours a year. 40 hours a year. Think about that for a second. Now, some, you got your tried and true, faithful, every time the doors are open, I'm there. It might extend out a little bit more than that. But, you know, we understand busy schedules and things that happen, and sometimes it's impossible to do that with schedules and, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, you got some people sit on the lower end of that. If you average it all out, it's about 40 hours a year the church gets. Can I tell you something? You can't disciple somebody on 40 hours a year. Parents, the time they get with their child outside of work, outside of school, and again, some job schedules are different, but on average, 3,000 hours a year. That's outside of school, outside of work, that's being at home. 3,000 hours a year versus the church, 40 hours a year. So let me tell you something. Who's the one who's the real pastor? Right? The parents are over the church leadership. And it's in that 3,000 hours where we must do our part as the home, where we must take our kids on the journey of what it means to follow Christ with their lives. Hear me, plug into what I'm saying right now. We must take them and show them what it means to follow Christ as the home. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. Let me show you what it means to follow Christ. Let me show you what it means to keep your eyes on Christ. We got to show them what it means to follow Christ, even in spite of life struggles that are going to hit your home. Come on, how many know? It doesn't matter what home you're in, life struggles are going to hit it. The life's winds are going to come against it. Life's ways are going to beat against it. And it's in those moments where just stop and say, listen, life is having its way with our home. The enemy's attacking our home. He's attacking me. Son or daughter, listen, this is what we do when we go through struggles. Come on, follow me as we look to God through the storm that we're going through. This is how I'm getting through. This is how I'm climbing this mountain. This is how I'm overcoming these walls. This is how I'm doing it. We've got to show our kids how to follow follow Christ. Be the example to show them. Look, these are the habits that I have in my life, and this is why I have them. This is why mommy has to pray every day. This is why daddy has to pray every day, because daddy couldn't make it if I wasn't holding on to the hands of Jesus. Daddy couldn't get there if I wasn't reading my Bible. Daddy has to go to church because this is where daddy gets strength for his life. This is why daddy has. This is why mama's got all the things in her life. Teach your kids through the example that you live out. Let me say it this way. It's the job of the parent to be the living example of the sermons we hear on Sunday. You see, when the pasty, bald, white preacher gets up and he's all sweaty on the stage and he's shaking his head and spits flying all over the place, and he says, God's called us to live a life that's not easy. He's called us to walk this life, 2 Corinthians 5:17, by faith and not by sight. A child should be able to learn how to live that out by looking at mom. I know how to do that because I watch my daddy. I know how to do that because I watch my mama. You are the living examples of the truths of God's word for them to live their life. The problem is, for many parents and for people in general in this culture that we live in today, when we go home, we live our lives in a different direction than what God's word tells us to live. Should I go on? Or should we just wrap the sermon up right now? You see, we have to sync our lives up with this in order for us to do our part in creating a stronger, strong spiritual lineage in your home. You see, when your prayer life as a parent doesn't line up with what the Bible says, what's my prayer life look like? The Bible says pray continually. In all things, give God thanks. Do your kids see you give God thanks in all things, even the tough times? Daddy, you all right? Mom, you all right? I'm just giving God thanks. Why? Because daddy knows everything's going to be all right. Mom knows everything's going to be. Come on now. You see, when our prayer lives don't line up with God's word, when your relationship lives, see, God's called a standard. I'm talking to single parents here even. When your relationships don't line up with what the Bible says. All parents, when your financial life doesn't line up with what the Bible says. When your faith life doesn't line up with what the Bible says. My God, we are then raising our children to see that it's perhaps okay to live a life that doesn't line up with what the Bible says. Come on, somebody. I know this is hard to hear, but help me preach it and don't make me preach it all by myself. What is this? Because the way we treat this is like it's just suggestive literature to sit on our coffee tables. Is this suggestive literature, or is this God's holy and inerrant command for our lives? Right? How many know this is his holy, inerrant? Quit acting like it's suggestive. Amen. We have to sync our lives up with this in order to do that, so that our kids can see the importance of doing it in their life, thus equipping them to have a strong future. The home must do its part. The baton of the gospel must be handed down to this next generation through the mechanism of the home. And I feel like some of you parents are looking at me going, what are you trying to say? Are you saying that I need to be perfect in order for my child to have a lifelong relationship with Jesus? Absolutely not. There pardon my Lincoln County vernacular, ain't a perfect person in here. There ain't a perfect daddy in here. There ain't a perfect mama in here. Ain't one. You see, when we, in our efforts, attempt to display to our kids what it's like to follow God for our children, let me just say this, we are going to fail. Many times. Come on. How many know in this race that we run, in this race that we run with this baton in our hand, how many know, come on, there are going to be times where we are going to fail. We're going to get our eyes off of that finish line, and we are going to get our eyes on something else, and we're not going to see the obstacles, the enemy, and we are going to trip up, come on, and fail. My kids know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm not a perfect dad. Javen, am I a perfect dad? Go on, say it where they can hear you. You don't got to say it with a smile on your face. They know I'm not perfect. My kids have seen me trip. My kids have seen me drop that baton. My kids have seen me overreact. My kids have seen me live in my flesh. They've seen me fall. But can I tell you something? My kids have seen me on my knees repent before them and say, Daddy shouldn't have said that. Daddy shouldn't have reacted like that. They've seen me take ownership of my sin and say, I'm sorry. I've fallen. They've seen me fall, but can I tell you what my kids have seen? They've seen me pick the baton back up. They've seen me pick myself back up and dust off my skin knees and start running again. They've seen me put my eyes back on the prize and say, come on. I know I slowed us down there for a bit, but we're going to keep going because we got a race to run. We've got a race to run. We've got a relay to run. You must ensure when you're doing your part, parents, to see the importance of repentance before your kids. And preaching a message of perseverance through the failures and struggles that attempt to ensnare you from keeping it going. Persevere, persist in the principles of God's way, word, and command. I'm telling you, and I just want you to hear me. I'm just trying to be pastor here and sharing a pastor's heart. I could get real practical inside of the home doing its part. You know, I've done that before. We've had series on that. Matter of fact, if you're following along with us on the app, I've left a few links in there to some great articles that would help you get practical. Like one of them is a Charisma magazine left an article just on parenting in the five P's, how to get the five P's in your home. Praise, presence, prayer. It's really good stuff. How to install that. I gave you a link to Focus on the Family's articles on parenting. It's a really fantastic resource for you. Take advantage of those. Invest in what is available to you as the true pastor of the home to get the future that God has for your home stronger than it ever has be. The home must do its part. Come on, let's all say it together. The home must do its part. Number two and last point here, the church must do its part as well. You see, we have not eliminated, being that we only have 40 hours a week, our responsibility. But we have climbed underneath the knowledge that with just around 40 hours a year with your child, we cannot disciple your child. So then what must we do? What can we do for your child? We've decided to make it our mission then to make every single hour count that we get to have with your children. There's so much planning, preparation, and prayer put into the time we get to be with your children, from the lessons we have to teach them, to the conversations we have with them, to the atmosphere we create for them, where we get to celebrate them, and they allow us to connect with them, where we can sow the gospel into their life in a creative way. But with only 40 hours a year being given to us to do that, we realize that as important as the times are for us to be with your children, it's also as important, if not more, for us to realize that we exist to stand behind you as the parent, to be the resource God's called you to be, to help you as you disciple them, as you train them, as you grow them, as you give them that baton we call the gospel message of Jesus. We realize as much as we exist for your kids, we exist to be there for you as a parent. And that leads me to orange. Somebody say, what's orange? Orange is the children's curriculum program that we have adopted into Journey Kids. We've been using it a while now, and it's a fantastic, fantastic program. Why do they call it orange? The whole vision behind orange is to take the church in yellow, which is the light of the world, and the home, which is the heart of the family, heart red, and when you take the church and the home, the yellow and the red, and put it together, red and yellow make orange, right? It creates an opportunity for you to connect the gospel the best way you know how to the next generation, making the future stronger than ever. By not taking those efforts by yourself, but allowing the church to team with you in that. That's why we have this ministry called Orange. Pastor Danny, I'm telling you, brought this to us and said, we need this. Pastor Danny, where you at? By the way, Pastor Danny and Brittany, congratulations on the new addition in your life. If you're not on Facebook, they're expecting a baby, and they're coming soon. Amen. Dan and Dawn, I saw your reaction on Facebook, and that was the greatest parent reaction I've ever seen. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. Just watch Dan and Dawn and get ready to cry. I cried. I thought it was so awesome. But it's about time our children's pastor has a child. Amen. It's coming soon. Amen. We're excited. Look at them all. Amen. Like they're angry. Amen. We've been waiting. Amen. Little Brooks coming soon. But Pastor Danny came to me and said, we need this curriculum to build a program that is as designed for parents as it is for children. And hear me, it's a dynamic curriculum for kids. It's not like it doesn't exist. I mean, our kids love this curriculum. Let me just give you a little preview into this, and you may not even be a parent. This will interest you. Like what I love about our children's ministry, I'm breaking it down into two areas. You've got 252, which is our elementary age kids. They call it 252 because it's based after Luke chapter 2, verse 52, talking of Jesus when he was a child. It says, and he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with the Lord. How many know that's God's will for all of us as we grow in those elementary years, to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with the Lord? So the whole curriculum exists for our elementary kids to grow in wisdom and in stature and favor with the Lord. And so every lesson they do, they just did a lesson in January last month called OS Update. And you know, OS with iPhones and operating systems and all that stuff. You know, we understand that lingo and tech. It's crazy how technology's taken over our world, but they understand this lingo and how God has an operating system in all of us. And we got to update that operating system just like we got to operate phones and things. Like, we need to make sure that we are operating our lives. We need to update it. You know, when you get angry, you need an update, and you need to update to the fruit of the Spirit. I'm telling you, it's a really awesome curriculum they do. And then there's First Look, which exists primarily for our age zero all the way through pre-K, and it's called First Look because it's essentially that age group's first look at Scripture, those first looks at the truths and principles of God's Word. And so they break it down in a really incredible way to help them understand it. And they just did a thing in January called The Market, and The Market's basically the store. Our kids know that you go get everything you need from Walmart, amen, or Kroger, or from the store. And so they said, they called it The Market, and they said, Jesus is our store. Jesus is the one that we go to get all that we need. And whatever you need, go to Jesus. It's a real simple principle, and our kids from our toddlers are getting it. My daughter, who's three, came back at me and was like, she was telling me about all that she was learning. I mean, it was insane. 3 years old. I can't get her to pick up her toys, but she's teaching me about Scripture. It was powerful. You know, I was talking about, you know, Jesus, and if you need healing, go to Jesus. And she came back to me with this little lesson, and she was telling me how Jesus took this guy's eyes and put mud in them, she said, and made him blind. And I'm like, your theology's a little off, but that is so sweet. I love it. You know, she was showing me the little things. I'm telling you, can we just give it up for our children's ministry? They do such a fantastic job pouring in to our kids. It's a fantastic curriculum that exists to make our kids stronger. But let me talk to you about the future part of it, because I'm telling you, there's also great follow-up to all this stuff. What I love about Orange is it equips young parents with the opportunity to continue the discussion that was had on Sunday into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And so you have the opportunity, and Pastor Dane said, make sure you tell him this, because this is a big passion of his. He just says at the beginning of every month, every young parent gets one of these, and it's basically just a parent cue sheet that says, here's what we're teaching your child this week and every week this month. And here's how you can continue the discussions on the lessons that we give. And it talks about how to talk about it at morning when you're driving to school, or in the morning time over breakfast, or cuddle time. It's just relaxation time, or bath time and bedtime. Here's what you do to talk about these things. Here's the questions to ask them. And I thought, wow, how cool is that? Because for many parents, you know, that are just coming into the faith, how do you do this? How do you navigate this? And so this is a fantastic, Pastor Danny said this, he says, if parents can at least do this right here, if they take anything away from this message, if they can at least do this, this will change the atmosphere of their home. And then there's also something else that they created called the Parent Q app. And I thought this was so such a great thing right here. Because, and I'm having my phone take over the TV here for a second, because you can download an app called the Parent Q app, and I've left a link for you on our app so you can follow along with the message. You can download this, but it'll show you your kids. You enter in your kids' names and ages, and it'll tell you, like, this is like 0 to 18, so if you bring up Asia here, and pardon me, it takes a little bit, but it'll tell you, like, here's Asia, this is how old that she is, says she's 179 weeks old, and she loves to kiss my bald head. I think that's awesome. And it says, listen, 757 weeks until she moves on. In other words, till she graduates high school. And so what it'll do is it'll tell me, like, it'll show a little video, watch this, that corresponds with our children's curriculum. It works alongside the lessons of every week, and it'll tell me, like, what to teach them, how to say it, say this right here to them, do these activities. They'll tell you the phases that a three-year-old is inside of. How many know sometimes we want to throw our three-year-olds out the window? And so this will tell you, don't throw them out the window. This is what you can do, because basically it's saying here, you have 757 weeks left. Don't miss it. Make every week count. I thought that was so awesome. And even for teenagers, like my son Javen, and it won't even let me do my oldest son Micah, because he's already graduated high school, so it's too late for him. But anyway, but it'll tell me, Javen, and you know, look, I don't have much time left. You know, he's 16, he's getting ready to be a senior next year. It says, I got 75 weeks until he moves on. He's 874 weeks old. What have I done every week with him? And he'll say, read this scripture. And it's all relevant to just him as a teenager. Remember this. These are discussions you can have. Do these, the phases of an 11th grader. Oh, come on, somebody. And it's saying this, you have 75 weeks left. Don't miss it. I mean, isn't this cool? Just these types of resources that exist for us as parents. This is why I think it's just an incredible thing to see what it is that our children's and youth ministries have provided us as parents. And hear me, we're not requiring you to do all this stuff, but start somewhere. Start with just these take-home sheets if you're a young parent. Even if you're a parent of a teenager, start with the app. You see, a stronger future happens when the church and the home come together and make it their mission to grow the gospel in the next generation. Because this is their church. We're just borrowing it from them for a little bit. This is their church. And there arose another generation who knew not the Lord or the works he had done for Israel. Listen, I don't want to relive that. You don't want to relive that. So I want to ask us to make a commitment today. Let's hand these sheets out, if we would, before we go. I want to ask us here today to make a commitment. And let's, if we can get some help on that, I want to get these out as quick as possible. I want to ask us, you're about to be given a sheet of paper here that's going to ask for you just to make a commitment. As quickly as we can, gentlemen. Thank you so much. I want to ask you to do one of three things, or even if your heart's like swelled up with generosity and you're so possessed, like, what can I do? Then do all three of them. But you got to be a parent to do all three, but you don't got to be a parent to do two of them. But number one, I just want you to at least circle one of these things. And maybe the first one that you would circle is this first one that says pray. Because I want us as Journey Church, in response to this right here, to make a commitment. First off, we should make a commitment to pray, where you would commit to a stronger future by praying routinely for the children of our church. The children, if you're a parent, of your home and your church, if you're not a parent, if anything, just your church, your community, and your world. Come on, how many know we need to regularly and routinely just be praying for the future of the world? We need to be putting on our face just going, God, bless these teenagers. God, bless these young people. Bless these babies, whatever situations they find themselves in, whatever home they're in. Just bless them, I pray. Somehow, God, let your light shine through. Come on, how many know prayer moves the hand of God? And if we start putting our prayers on their behalf, I believe we'd start seeing a move more and more in this generation. We need to be a praying church. A praying church is a growing church. A praying marriage is a growing marriage. A praying home is a growing home. Pray. If anything, just circle that and say, I'm in. I'm in. I'll pray. I will commit to pray. Or maybe you're here as a parent and you just say, you know what? I want to commit to being that parent. You know, this is kind of new to me, raising my kids in the faith. Or maybe it isn't new to you and you're arriving at a phase in your life where you just don't know what to do. Can I tell you, my wife and I admitted this in the first service. You know, we've been youth pastors, children's pastors, parenting kids now for 18 plus years. We still arrive at points in our parenting where I don't know what to do. And I would just welcome any amount of resource I can into my life. And if that's you today and you say, you know what, I want to parent my kids so that I can have a stronger future. So I would welcome any resource that you have. And our kids' ministry will find that as permission to just maybe text you some resource, or our youth ministry to text you some resource when we get it. Young adults, even, for us to parent our adult kids. Like, how do we do that? Some resource that we could give you for that. So just let us know if you'd like that information. And lastly, number three, maybe you're here today and you want to get real crazy and put your money where your mouth is, right? And say, I wouldn't mind serving. We're not asking you to sign up for every week for a year. We're just asking you to just sign up for a test drive. Just come check it out. Maybe you'd want to serve in Journey Kids, and we'll have opportunities to serve in our Journey Youth later on this fall, so we'll share with those opportunities with you there. But Journey Kids specifically, can I have like eight kids, 10 kids come on up here? Just come on up here and come and sit up here with me. Mr. Mike, would you come up here too and take your position? Come on up. Come on, let's give it up for these kids as they make their way on. Woo! Look at them. Come here and sit on these orange chairs. This is awesome right here. But, you know, when I ask you to serve in kids ministry, I think many of you think I'm asking you to do this. If you know this guy, he is a rock star with these guys and girls. He stands up there and preaches and teaches and illustrates God's word, just incredibly illustrated. It was awesome. Oh, come on, amen. It's all right. Some of us are late to church. It's okay, amen. You know, but I think we think like, this is what I'm asking you to do. And that's not what I'm asking you to do when I say serving kids, because I think some of us will be like, heck no. I ain't standing up in front of kids, right? Like, that's just too much for me. It's too much pressure. I just can't do it, right? But maybe this is your gift. But the biggest area in Journey Kids to serve at is what I would call somebody that sits in this seat right here, right? What's your name? Nick, what's your name?
Oliver.
I know you. Say it again.
Oliver.
If you've seen this guy, you're a rock star because your picture's on the hallway. But look at him. Yeah, I know. No big deal. But it's this spot right here where you're a teacher's assistant. You know, to be Mr. Mike's assistant. This is actually when I've been able to serve in Journey Kids at times. I say I can't serve at Journey Kids because I work on Sundays. But anyhow. I'll wait for some of you on that one. Amen. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's just like, you just come and sit here with the kids, which is awesome. You know, where sometimes Oliver may get so excited, right, at what he's hearing that he just ends up trying to talk to Sophie, right? And be like, hey, you know, and they, you know, because kids can, you guys can talk. Amen. We know that. It's awesome, right? God's gifted you with the ability to have great conversations. Amen. Look at them. I'm getting amens and witnesses right now. But it's a teacher's assistant that keeps them on track. Like, yeah, that's awesome. But listen to what Mr. Mike's saying, because Mr. Mike's bringing us the truth of God's word. Did you hear that? You know, we're repeating it with them. We're helping create the atmosphere that's being taught so that their lives can receive with their attention spans, right, what it is that's being sown. You know, we're learning with them. And there may be times where Mr. Mike goes, hey, Jesse, can you go get the lesson in the craft, and I'll go get all the stuff and I'll hand it out, and just to be a blessing. I believe this spot right here, this position, is as important, if not more important, no offense, than the position of speaker, because we're helping people receive. And it's an awesome thing. And these guys, come on, are worth helping receiving. Am I right? Huh? You guys are awesome. Whoa, we're right there. Amen. Come on. This is good stuff. Give it up. How many love these kids right here? You guys are so awesome. Bring it in. Bring it in. Boom. I love this right here. Who wouldn't want to serve alongside these incredible, incredible? You know, the future of this church is theirs. This Journey Church belongs to them. Who wants to pastor this church? You? Two, three, four, five, six, seven. You, it's good, because he doesn't want to. None of my kids want to. So listen, this is going to go to you. But how many know this is the future leadership here? I already got seven candidates. We'll receive resumes after the service. Amen. I'm telling you, serve. Maybe you want to test drive elementary. And maybe you see these guys and you're like, they're awesome. Guess what? We got kids even cuter than this. The pre-Kers. They're tinier versions of them. They're so cute. You know, I mean, help them in a teacher's assistant. And if you want even cuter, go to the toddlers. And you want even cuter, go to the little tinies. You know, it's incredible. Just serve in an area. Just test drive it. Because I'm telling you, to see what God's doing through serving the kids, creating a stronger future is what it's all about. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by emailing us at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.